Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast this Christmas Eve. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, and we're on the air because truth matters. As we approach the celebration of our Lord's birth, let us remember that He came into the world to save us from our sins. And the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we start with Matthew 1:21. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Hard to believe, but our 25-day odyssey to the heart of Christmas has almost reached a climax. Today, as Christmas Eve approaches, it's time to turn our hearts towards the primary reason for the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. That reason? The salvation of sinners. In fact, the very name Jesus embodies salvation. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, meaning Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Indeed, the Bible is God's unfolding plan of salvation, from the fall in paradise to the promise of paradise restored. So this Christmas season, indeed throughout the coming year, may you ever be mindful of the reality that God has condescended to use you as the means through which the free gift of the water of life is dispensed to a parched and thirsty world. Perhaps you yourself are thirsty. If so, the concluding words of the last book of the Bible have direct application to your life. "Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." In essence, there are three steps to that fountain of water, and they're encapsulated in the words, "realize, repent, and receive." You need to realize that you're a sinner. If you do not realize you're a sinner, you will not recognize your need for a Savior. The Bible says, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And then, you must repent of your sins. Repentance is an old English word that describes a willingness to turn from sin towards Christ. It literally means taking a complete U-turn on the road of life. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It means that you are willing to follow Jesus and to receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Jesus said, "Repent and believe the good news." Finally, to demonstrate, true belief means to be willing to receive. To truly receive is to trust in, to depend on Jesus Christ alone to be the Lord of our lives here and now and our Savior for all eternity. It takes more than knowledge. Of course, the devil knows about Jesus and he trembles. It takes more than agreement that the knowledge that you have is accurate. The devil agrees that Jesus is Lord. What it takes is knowledge, agreement, and trust in Jesus Christ alone. The requirements for eternal life are not based on what you can do, but on what Jesus Christ has done. He stands ready to exchange His perfection for your imperfection. According to Jesus Christ, those who realize they're sinners, repent of their sins, and receive Him as Savior and Lord are born again, not physically, but spiritually. The reality of our salvation is not dependent on our feelings, but on the promise of the Savior who says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life." If you have just confessed your faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time, you can rejoice in the angelic proclamation of salvation given to the shepherds on that very first Christmas. Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. If, on the other hand, you have already experienced salvation, you have the greatest privilege imaginable, that of taking the message of salvation to a lost and searching world. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. If you don't have the book, these kind of devotionals are found in The Heart of Christmas. You can order online at equip.org. I'll send you the book, The Heart of Christmas, as my way of saying thank you for your support of this ministry. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up today is Ralph. He's listening in Raleigh, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ralph.
How are you doing, Hank? How are you doing? This is Ralph from Kansas. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I had like two questions. I was wondering back in Genesis 6, did angels sleep with men or women?
No, not at all. In fact, that's an interjection of pagan mythology on the scripture. You know, the Bible makes very clear that kinds reproduce after their own kind. So the suggestion that fallen angels can have intercourse with women has no part in a biblical worldview. And drawn to its logical conclusion actually undermines the biblical worldview at some very strategic points, because if Satan has the ability to create a body, or if his demons can do so, then he could have masqueraded as the resurrected Christ. And if that is the case, Christ's argument that a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have, is rendered null and void. Perish the thought.
Hey, so what does it talk about in Genesis 6?
Well, what's going on in Genesis chapter 6 is a judgment on humankind. It's not a judgment on fallen angels that are having sex with women. It's, again, a judgment on the sin of the world. All one has to do is read Genesis 6 in context, and they see that immediately. So the judgment here is on the sons of God. In other words, the godly descendants of Seth, and the daughters of men, the ungodly descendants of Cain, in their cohabitation, which causes humanity to fall into such utter depravity that God says, and you'll find this in the text, I will wipe humankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground, the birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And then the text goes on to say, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out online at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kathy. Kathy is listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada on CJCA. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Hank. My question is, I have a young nephew that has become involved in Wicca. And my question is twofold. What do Wiccans believe, and what would be the best way to lovingly present the gospel to him in a way that would make sense to him when Wicca is his belief framework?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And this is a great opportunity to use the deviations of Wicca as springboards to sharing the gospel. Now, a lot of people misunderstand Wiccans, and they think that this is some kind of a satanic cult, and it is not. It's a neo-pagan, earth-centered religion. It's known as the craft, and their view is that all reality is divine, and therefore they revere the natural world as a living, breathing organism, and they revere people as gods and goddesses. And they often consider the supreme manifestation of deity to be a nature goddess, the triple goddess of the moon in specific. But there's a sharp contrast here to a biblical worldview, because what they do is they worship creation. What we do as Christians is worship the Creator. In fact, the Bible speaks out unambiguously against the worship of created things. So while the Bible does not teach that people should care for the environment and appreciate its magnificence, our worship belongs only to the Creator whose glory is reflected in creation. So again, to restate that, the Bible does tell us that we should care for the environment, that we should appreciate the environment, but we should not worship the environment. We should worship God alone. Second point would be this, that their supreme ethical rule is what's called the Wiccan Reed. If it harms none, do as ye will. So despite this prescription against harming others, Wiccans hold that moral and religious truths are ultimately relative, and that's a critical point. The Wiccan Reed sets the craft apart from malevolent activities of Satanists on the one hand, but their worldview stands in direct opposition to the biblical notion of absolute moral truth and exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. So this is a critical point to understand the Wiccan Reed and to see exactly how it stands in terms of its moral relativism against the absolute moral truth presented as a North Star in the Bible.
I'm just writing down what you're saying.
Well, you know what? I'd be happy to send it to you as well if you want to hang on, because I wrote about this in some detail in the Complete Bible Answer book, and I make some additional points there as well.
Okay. Lovely. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. If you hang on, I'll be pleased to send it out to you. And of course, for everybody else listening in, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. We'd be pleased to send it out to you for your gift to the ongoing support of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Debbie. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, thank you.
Thank you so much for your program. I listen to it every night on my way home from work.
Oh, bless
and
you.
It has opened my eyes to a lot of things. I wanted to ask, because I value your expertise and your knowledge so much, I wanted to ask, I've prayed my whole life and felt like I, you know, was making a connection. And then a lot of my friends are telling me that, you know, you can't pray directly to God. You have to pray to Jesus, you know, and he delivers the message. And it's like now I just don't even know if I know how to pray anymore.
Well, I think the best thing to do is to take the words of Jesus Christ at face value. He teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He gives us the model prayer, what I call the prayer of Jesus. And I wrote a book about this called The Prayer of Jesus, which teaches you how to pray and teaches you the priorities of prayer as well. But even beyond that, it's important to point out in direct response to your question that when we pray, we can not only pray to the Father, we can pray to the Son. Christ invited his disciples to pray to him. And not only so, but we can directly thank the Holy Spirit for being our counselor and our comforter. So there is a biblical precedent to not only pray to God in general, but to pray to the persons in the Godhead in particular. And again, that precedent comes from the Scripture itself.
Okay, because I've been, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, at the end, I guess God isn't the judge, that Jesus is the judge. He's the intercessor, or...
Well, you don't want to make... See, here, part of the problem here is a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches with respect to the nature of God. Remember that biblically, we don't serve three gods, we only serve one God. The Bible is very clear that there's only one God. There are not two gods, there are not three gods. There's only one God. But within the Godhead, there are three personal distinctions: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So simply put, we believe in one what and three whos. One God in terms of his nature or his essence, three in terms of person. And person has to do with identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. And the reason I make that clarity is that not only can the Father send the Son and the Son pray to the Father, but you can pray to the Father and you can pray to the Son. Not only so, you can pray to the Holy Spirit as well. But remember, when you are praying to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're praying to the one God revealed in three persons who are forever, eternally distinct. I've written about that in my book, The Prayer of Jesus, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And this is a very important book because it teaches you secrets to real intimacy with God. So many people think that prayer is only supplication. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Prayer is about developing a relationship with the lover of your soul, developing intimacy with the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb. The Prayer of Jesus, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Stay tuned for that.
While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support CRI, you help strengthen many who are in need of guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong and prepare to give you even more life-changing resources in 2013. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Thank you. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we get closer and closer to the moment that we celebrate Advent, it's important for us to understand what that word means to begin with, because it literally means coming. And as such, Advent is a season in which the Christian church celebrates the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there's much more. The celebration of the coming of Christ in flesh is also an everyday reality. And as such, we celebrate the daily advent of Christ through prayer, through praise, through the proclamation of the Word made flesh. In prayer, we have the privilege of expressing thanksgiving to the one who saved us, who sanctifies us, and one day will glorify us. In praise, not just during Advent, but during the entirety of the year, we express the essence of our faith in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, and in proclamation, we correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The daily advent of Christ is celebrated through community, confession, through contribution. Community is visible in baptism, which symbolizes our entrance into a body of believers who are one in the one made flesh. In like fashion, Holy Communion is an expression of our oneness in Christ. As we all partake of the same elements, we partake of that which the elements symbolize, Jesus Christ, through whom we are one. A further expression of our oneness in the Christ of Christmas is our common confession of faith. As with community and confession, we experience oneness in Christ through the contribution of our time, our talent, our treasure. The tragedy of modern Christianity is that all too often when members of the body hurt, when they have needs, they're left to fill that void and bind their own wounds apart from the body of Christ. One final point, we celebrate the daily advent of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by testifying to what we believe, to why we believe, and in whom we have believed. The gospel of Jesus Christ should become such a part of our vocabulary that presenting it becomes second nature. In like fashion, defending the faith is not an option. It should be a basic competency of everyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. In addition to being prepared to communicate the what and why of our faith, of course, we should be empowered to communicate the who of our faith as well. This is especially essential in that virtually every theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So today, as you look forward to the finish line of the 25-day journey that we took through the heart of Christmas, why not ask the Holy Spirit to expand Advent from a Christmas celebration to a daily coming of Christ through worship, through oneness, and through witness? Let's go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk next to Nate. He's listening in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Nate.
How are you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
First of all, I want to say thanks for your program. I listen just about every single day as I'm driving around in my car down here, so God bless you for that.
Oh, thank you.
The question I have is, I've been in a relationship now just almost a year and a half, and the one that I'm dating, she is agnostic, as she states, and has a very hard time accepting the Christian faith. And I've tried different things as far as trying to reach to her, and prayer is a huge thing that I've been turning to a lot as far as for her soul. My question is if I'm praying pure, in a pure of heart way, and I know that it's not up to me to convert a soul, it's up to the Holy Spirit, but if I'm praying in a pure of heart way, will there be a time when she will be saved by the Lord?
Well, let me give you the principle. We're called to pray for the sick just as we are called to present the gospel for salvation. But our prayer or our presentation of the gospel doesn't save anyone.
Okay.
It's the Holy Spirit, as you point out, that changes the heart. And likewise, our prayer for the sick is only efficacious if it is in concert with the will of God. So we pray with a pure heart, and we should be praying for the salvation of others. We present the gospel not only with our lips, but through our life and through our love. But again, as you have noted, only the Holy Spirit ultimately changes the heart. And the point here is that the person's will is very important in the process. To be agnostic is not acceptable, because we live in a universe that demands us to be more than agnostic, to be more than someone who says, I don't know one way or the other. The truth is, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard, their words go out to the ends of the earth. So as you look at the universe in which we live, you know that there is a God. But it's not only the outer testimony of creation itself, but it's the inner testimony of the conscience. And therefore, we're without excuse, because we have the testimony from without and the testimony from within. And Jesus actually makes a big point of this when he's speaking to Nicodemus, a teacher of the law. He says the problem is not that there's not enough light. The problem is that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And simply put, what that means is, once we recognize the light, then we become accountable to the light. And so people say, I don't want to be accountable to the light, so I'm going to stay agnostic, and that way I don't have to commit. And I think it's really important for you as a Christian to recognize that missionary dating can be a very dangerous thing, because once your emotions get involved in the process, it's very difficult to be objective. So you want to take that into consideration in terms of the dating process itself. That doesn't in any way preclude you being a witness to the person that you're talking about.
And that's something, I mean, I've talked with other Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ with everything, and it's something that I struggle with. Because you have the physicalness of loving somebody, and at the same time, you know that, I mean, we're supposed to be disciples of men and go out and preach the gospel. But I'm having a hard time finding a way to reach to her, and I guess part of me, you know, being a Christian and knowing to be saved, you're with eternal glory with the Lord in heaven, and if you're not, then there's only one other place for you to go. And so the thing, I guess, if there's any advice, is there another way, or a way that you have known to get through or to try to break through that barrier, other than trying to preach the gospel, or a different way to go about it to try to break ground there?
Yeah, again, I want to underscore the fact that to be unequally yoked is always a danger, in that if the relationship continues to progress and you end up getting married, what happens is you end up pulling the cart in different directions, and it becomes a really big stumbling block in the midst of the marriage, not only for you and for her, but also for the children you might bear as a result of your union. But that being said, I think it's important to go back to what you said earlier. This is the operative thought. We don't change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. So your responsibility is not somehow or other to find the key to change your heart. Your responsibility is to always equip yourself so that you're the sharpest tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of being able to communicate truth and life, not only to her, but to others as well. So that's why I say in the broadcast so often that the issue is not evangelism. The issue is equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped, you can use your well-reasoned answer. If you're not equipped, you can't.
And that's what I do. I'm constantly battling, or not battling, but arming myself basically with the knowledge. So if she has a question, I have an answer. And one of the one of my brothers in Christ that I'm going to close with basically put it best. He said, you know what? Me be the book. So if we go out to dinner, I pray quietly. I don't say anything. I just pray. You know, and it's so kind of let me be a book for her to read and see God on me.
Yep, and that's so well said. You know, it's the old adage, testify by your love and your life, and if necessary, use words.
Okay. Well, Hank, I appreciate it. That puts a lot at ease. You know, I mean, it answers a lot of questions that I have. Thank you again for everything that you do. I know you've touched my life as well as many of others, and I just wish you a very happy Christmas.
Thank you so much, Nate. God bless you as well. And before we go to our next caller, I want to mention the Equip iPhone app. You can listen, learn, defend the faith with your iPhone. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with technology. Personalized technology is used for all kinds of evil purposes. You can use it for good. You can listen to archived broadcasts. You can listen to Ask Hank features. You can listen live to the broadcast. You can read articles and much, much more. You can download the app now at equip.org. Click on the Equip iPhone app banner and download the app for free. I was using it today, and I love this new resource that we have available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian in Colorado Springs, Colorado, listening on the web. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. My question is, first of all, I just found you last night, and I really love your program.
Thank you.
My question is, for a while now, I've been feeling like I should go to a Bible school of some sort. What are your ideas on a Bible school, college around the Colorado Springs, Colorado area?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because I have 12 kids and I have 4 in university now, and there'll be 5 next year. So it's a big issue for me, but one of my daughters graduated from Biola, which I think is a great school in Los Angeles. One is at Baylor in Texas. I have another at Wheaton, for example. All 3 of those schools I highly recommend. In Colorado, I'll have to do some research. Talk to my good friend Lee Strobel, who's in Colorado. He probably has some good ideas. If you want to hang on, I can get that information out to you.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, you hang on. We'll get that information out to you. I'll try to find the best resource in terms of a Bible college there. Denver Seminary might be a good suggestion off the top of my head, but hang on. Let's see what else we can do. We are coming close to a station break. I want to mention this is year-end. This is make it or break it time. We want to be candid about this. The gospel is free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We need your support. We are actually having a pretty good December, but we have a long way to go so that we are set properly to embrace the new year and to embrace the opportunities that God has given us for witness. What's in it for you? Quite frankly, what this is about is encapsulated in the words of Jesus Christ. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Ultimately, there are degrees of reward in heaven. You can't work for your salvation, but all of us should work from our salvation. That is not a common message preached in pulpits today, but it is a message clearly preached by our Master, Jesus Christ Himself. So stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that in a safe, secure way. You can give online at equip.org via the mail at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at number 888-7000 in the letters CRI. I'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. How would your life be different today without the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, or CRI's website, books, and other resources? If CRI has blessed you this year, please help us bring more of these blessings into your life and many more in the new year. Give a special tax-deductible gift by December 31st. Because we're entirely listener-supported, your gift truly matters. To partner with us in ministry, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff, with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go back to our callers, I want to talk about the final advent of Christ as Christmas is tomorrow. We talked about the first advent or the first coming of Jesus Christ in flesh. I spoke in the last segment about the daily advent of Jesus Christ, but there's also a final advent, a final coming of Jesus Christ. And just as the focus of the first advent is Christ coming in flesh, so too the focus of the second advent is Christ coming in flesh. This time, however, he will not come as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This time, he will come as a bridegroom, carrying his bride over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. As Canaan provided temporal rest for the physical descendants of Abraham, the coming Christ will provide eternal rest for his spiritual descendants. In the final advent, the land promises that God made to Abraham will be fully and finally consummated, in that paradise lost will become paradise restored. As such, Canaan is typological of a renewed cosmos. Indeed, Abraham, like Isaac and Jacob, viewed living in the promised land in much the same way that a stranger would view living in a foreign country. Why? Well, because, as the writer of Hebrews made plain, he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And therefore, Abraham looked beyond binding borders and boundaries to a day in which the meek would inherit the earth. I don't know about you, but the more I think about the new heaven and the new earth, the more excited I get. It is simply incredible to think that one day soon we will not only experience the resurrection of our carcasses, but we will experience the renewal of the cosmos and the final advent of our Creator. We will literally have heaven on earth. Not only will we experience God's fellowship as Adam and Eve did, but we will see the second Adam, Jesus Christ, face to face. God in flesh will truly live in our midst, and we will never come to an end of exploring the infinite, inexhaustible I Am, or the grandeur and glory of His incomparable universe. Those who die in Christ will experience the new heaven and the new earth as both a physical place in creation and as the personal presence of the Creator. As Revelation puts it, the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He was seated on the throne and said, "I am making everything new." This Christmas, as you celebrate the first advent of our Lord, may His presence in word and sacrament sustain you spiritually, and may you fix your focus with eager anticipation on the final advent of the babe of Bethlehem, now a bridegroom returning with His bride. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Dallas in Branson, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Dallas.
Hello, Hank. First, I'd like to say may God continue to bless you, your family, and your ministry.
Thank you.
I have two questions, and I'll try to keep them as short as possible. One is about the Living Church of God. My son belongs to it, and at Christmas time, it bothers me because he doesn't celebrate it, and I have a grandchild through him, and I was wondering if you could just give me some insight on that.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question for me because I was involved in the early stages of working with the Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, Joseph Tkach, as he was working very, very hard to keep the Worldwide Church of God from galvanizing around splinter groups, because what had happened is he had come to faith in Christ. And many others who were principals in the Worldwide Church of God, like Greg Albrecht, who was the editor-in-chief of Plain Truth magazine, had also come to faith in Christ. So together, what they were doing is feeling very called to reach those within the Worldwide Church of God with the true gospel, not the false gospel of the Worldwide Church of God. Because in the Worldwide Church of God, founded by Herbert W. Armstrong, there were all kinds of false teachings, including a denial of the Trinity, a denial of the personality of the Holy Spirit, a teaching that believers became part of the Godhead in eternity, a denial of the two natures of Christ, a denial of justification by faith alone, and on it goes, including such sophistry as Anglo-Israelism and legalistic prescriptions, including feasts and dietary laws and so forth. So when you talk about the living church of God, what's going on here is exactly what Joseph de Koch was trying to work against, and that is people getting galvanized around people like Roderick Meredith, who, of course, had his roots in the Worldwide Church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong. This is a false teacher with a false religion, and, of course, the goal is always is to use the deviations as springboards or opportunities to share the truth, which is precisely the opportunity I had to do with people within the Worldwide Church of God. And I had the privilege, in fact, of writing the foreword to Joseph Tkach's book, which was titled Transformed by Truth. So this was a great story about the leadership of a cult coming out of cultism, coming to true faith in Christ. But now there are still splinter groups, and unfortunately, the Living Church of God is one of them. It is a false church, a false religion, and false doctrine.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dallas. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Leanna, listening in Rogers, Arkansas, on Bot Radio. Hi, Leanna.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm just wondering, I need a refresher on why bad things happen to children.
Well, we live in a fallen world. God created the potential for evil by giving humankind freedom of choice. Humans actualized that evil by their choices. And as a result of that, we now have a cursed creation, and we have people who are born and conceived in sin. And as a result of that, bad things happen. But what will come out of that is the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So Christianity does not give us a panacea. What it promises us is peace in the midst of the storm. And further, it promises us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But in the meantime, we all will get sick, we'll all suffer, and eventually we'll all die. The other thing I want to point out is that only Christian theism, in the way that I just explained it to you, has a relevant response to the problem of evil. You don't have a relevant response in any other answer that can be given. Pantheism denies the existence of good and evil because in this view, God is all and all is God. Philosophical naturalism also does not have a relevant response in that there is no such thing as good or evil in philosophical naturalism. So only Christian theism can give you a satisfactory answer to the question that you just asked. Bad things happen, but God has ordained a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And our hope, ultimately, is based in fact, that fact stemming from the resurrection of Christ, which is the guarantee of our resurrection as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Leanna. Thank you so much for your call. Of course, a very relevant question in light of the Connecticut elementary school massacre. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Layman listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, Series XM 131. Hi, Layman.
Good evening. Hi, how are you, sir?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Enjoy your program. I run a truck. I listen to you talk to it every day.
Well, thank you.
I'll give you some quick background on my question. I moved in a community of Quakers, and these people were so loving, so neighborly and nice, and just embraced us right on the start. That I got to thinking the other day, I thought, why don't I encourage my grandchildren to come here? And it dawned on me, I thought, because I want to be baptized, and they're not going to be baptized. Because, and I mean, am I making too big of an issue out of baptism? I realize.
No, you're not at all. I mean, this is a very important issue. Baptism doesn't save you, but through baptism, we identify visibly and publicly with the body of Christ.
Right.
And it's a sign and a seal that we're buried to our old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, that we're living stones in the temple of God, that we didn't come to Christ in isolation, but we came or were born again into the body of Christ. And this is part of the problem, a rejection of physical sacraments like baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Bible's emphatic that we are to celebrate the broken body, shed blood of Jesus Christ for complete remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I think it's important, and you've alluded to this in the prologue to your question, that the Friends or the Quakers are not monolithic. Some are very much guided by Scripture, but by and large, Fox, the founder of the Quakers Society, preferred to be guided by the inner light. So again, I think it's important to recognize that this is not a monolithic group. Some are liberal, some are evangelical, others are somewhere in between. But I think it's really important for you to make clear that the sacraments are critical, not because I say they are, but Scripture unambiguously does say that they are. Of course, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And when he did, he was reminding them that he was there to sustain them spiritually as well as physically. And therefore, each time we partake of communion, we're reminded that he is the bread of life. When we receive communion, the bread on the table is physical bread, but it's also bread with a spiritual meaning. The bread is an aftertaste, a salvation. It reminds us of the body that was given for our sins on the cross, but it is also a foretaste of the kingdom to come. And in that kingdom, we will sit down with the King at an eternal banquet table. I've written about this in my book, The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it at that. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Resource consultants, as always, can be accessed via the phone, 888-7000. In the letter CRI, you can contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Have a great Christmas with family members and friends. Never forget that Christ came in the first Advent. We celebrate him in the daily Advent, and one day we will encounter him in the final Advent. Again, Merry Christmas, and may God richly bless that time with family and with friends as you celebrate the birth of the King. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and help believers sharpen their discernment skills. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime.
Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.